Welcome to The Empathetic Man. My name is Sethi Hillier, and I'm joined with Nimesh Gupta, and together we are going to help explore how you as a man can be more empathetic. Each week, we are going to dive into a topic that may relate to your relationship with your spouse, your kids, or just life in general. We are looking forward to your engagement and your feedback, so let us know through your comments what other questions we can tackle, and we hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Hey guys, Sethi and Nimesh here from The Empathetic Man, and we thought we'd follow the kind of format we did last week, which was to kind of introduce a question that neither of us had any chance to prepare for that we could have a dialogue around. And I know me personally really enjoyed last week. So I think what I'll do is I'll tee up the question, and then Sethi, if you want to jump in, you can. If you need some time to think about it, I'm happy to kind of provide my response. But basically, the question is, if you could sit down with your 15-year-old self, what would you tell him or her? And just added context is, you know, when you're 15, you've probably just finished your freshman year of high school. So you are kind of, you've adapted to the high school process, but you are now kind of entering your sophomore, junior year where, you know, you're starting to think about various things. I know in our generation, it was more kind of starting to think about SAT prep, things of that nature. And then you have obviously the social elements at play in terms of, you know, dating or just kind of being in the in crowd, et cetera. So again, the question is, if you sit down with your 15-year-old self, what would you tell him or her? And I thought maybe we could come up with a few answers and kind of bounce them back and forth.
Yeah, man, this is a cool question. It's a question that I've kind of thought about before in another conversation I had. I don't think it was framed that exact same way, but I do think it's just a really cool kind of reflective, retrospective question. And it's interesting because kind of on the side, my wife and I started probably a couple weeks ago watching the Netflix show, and it's, I guess, maybe a couple years old now, but 13 Reasons, which is about a high school and, you know, someone commits suicide, and it basically starts with, you know, now what that school's like. And it gets, you know, really controversial because it goes into some really sensitive topics around, you know, obviously depression, loneliness, suicide, you know, assault, fitting in. And the way it's kind of developing has been really fascinating to myself and my wife, because we don't have high school kids yet, but, you know, our kids are definitely starting to, you know, they're in school, you know, two of them are at least in school, and we're starting to think about, you know, how things are going to be and how just it is so different than what it was back in our time. But I think fundamentally, there's still a lot of just things that every kind of child goes through in high school. So, yeah, I mean, if you have a specific response right now, go for it. Otherwise, I kind of have maybe a couple of things, but do you want to just kind of go back and forth? Like maybe I might say one thing, you say one thing, and then vice versa?
Yeah, let's do that. I don't know. If you're ready, go ahead. You can tee it off.
Yeah. So I think right now, you know, when you are older and you think about your past, I think one thing that really starts to like come to light is that, you know, life just moves on, and, you know, the ebbs and flows and the highs and lows of life, that it just continues. And I think the one piece of advice that I would tell myself at 15 is don't think about life as a series of, you know, points and results and destinations, but think of it at more of just you're going through this day to day, and you're going to have good days and you're going to have bad days, but this is a continuous, you know, marathon, and it's, you know, full of sprints. And to just, you know, remind them that don't, you know, be so fixated on like what just happened or how you feel or what that person just did to you or what you're missing out on, because, you know, it's really hard when you're that age, right? Your world is, it kind of starts to, I want to say it starts to get small, but when you get older, I think you start to realize how you know, how small we are. And so I just don't feel like you feel that when you're 15. I feel like you feel like you're just in this, you know, you're in this pond and there's, you know, a bunch of fish in it, and it feels really suffocating. And then when you get older, it's like, man, this is not a pond. It's a freaking vast ocean that never ends. And what I do over here has no impact on other things that are happening. And so I can always, you know, I can always swim to other places. I can always check out other things and see what's resonating with me. And I would just kind of tell myself or anyone of that age, like, don't think about this kind of limiting fixed mindset. Think about just, you have an opportunity to experience, but that experience doesn't stop today. It continues to evolve, and just take what you like and the things you don't like, you know, don't feel like they're going to always be there. I think that'd be one thing that I would say.
I like that. I like that. And I think to tag on to, you know, these kind of, I look at it in terms of two buckets. One is like the personal kind of social bucket. The other is the kind of more practical bucket. And I'll lead out with the social bucket. And the first one, and I've already covered this before many times, so I don't want to, this kind of goes without saying, so I won't count it as one, is I think people have to be maniacal about figuring out what it is they're passionate about and interested in. I think that's something, especially as a 15-year-old, you have to constantly be asking yourself. You don't have to come up with an answer or like commit to something longer term, but you should wake up every day and figure out, what am I passionate about and what is my superpower? So that's something I've kind of spoken about a lot, so I won't count it as one. But the one I will talk about here is, I would tell myself, look at the 10 people that you think are the most popular in school in terms of folks that are accepted by their peers more so than other folks for a variety of reasons. And tell yourself right now that those 10 people will not be the type of people that you will be hanging out with or want to hang out with in the future. And I think it's very important for people to understand that the higher level rule, or sorry, higher level lesson there is, don't let the folks that are in the in crowd during your kind of, you know, teenage or high school years dictate what is excellence and what is actually something that you want to strive for in the future. And I think what happens in high school is you get so fixated on the popular kids and you try so hard to fit that mold or be accepted by them, when in actuality, you're not living their lives. You shouldn't be trying to play out their story. You have your own story and you get distracted by that. So that's certainly one thing I would tell folks.
It's interesting because I feel like what you just said right there, it has a lot. And if you don't mind, I'd love to ask a couple of questions about that, because I definitely agree that it's really important to kind of own your individual, you know, your kind of individuality, right? And kind of know yourself. But at the same time, like, I also am kind of mindful, like, you know, when you're that age, like, you do want to feel some sort of community, and you know, through that community, feel some sort of importance or feel like you matter. And so I do think that's a tough one for me, because I'm trying to also figure out, like, how do you tell a person, like, hey, you are who you are and you can be whatever you want to be, but don't worry about what others think, but at the same time, give that person an opportunity to kind of not feel so isolated. I'm just curious, have you thought about that? Because again, I think when you're older, I think it's easier to kind of, you know, ignore people's opinions and their judgments or their impressions of you. But when you're 15, I do feel like that's pretty challenging. And, you know, even kind of what you said, like, you know, there's these popular kids that, you know, may not matter in the future. Is there a way that you find could be effective to kind of give that person that sense of, like, ownership and self-worth, but also not feel, like, isolated?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I do acknowledge, and thanks for pointing that out. Like, this is kind of it's an easier kind of anecdote, if you will, or line of guidance to give kind of after the fact, because, you know, during that age, especially, right? One thing you're yearning for is just fitting in, and it does kind of enable your world to go around. I think for me, it's just more of like just trying to convey to someone that, so the reason I say that is I feel like popularity is kind of a zero-sum game, right? Where it's one person has it, the other person, one person's emotional capital and popularity is then kind of shifted to someone else out of the expense of kind of someone else's. And the larger lesson for me is just to realize, like, and understand, why do you admire someone so much, right? Like, one, why is that person so popular? And number two, like, are those the things that you really want? And I think when people dive into it, they may, and maybe you're too young to understand this, that a lot of those things are just kind of like superficial, right? Maybe it's how that person looks. Maybe it's how that person socializes. And I think for me, that's where I would really want to sit down with myself and educate myself around, look, are those things that you admire this person for the types of things that you really want to be? And again, it's tough, right? Because like when you're 14 years old, or 15 years old, have you even developed what it is that you feel like you want to pursue? So
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's a really interesting point. And I mean, the only thing that I would maybe just try to, you know, modulate with that particular point is to just help that 15-year-old also not turn their perception of those people into a judgment, right? And it's like, oh, this person is, you know, cool, and they do this and that, and they have all these awesome things that they're kind of experiencing right now. And because it's not that big of a deal, you know, I'm going to now criticize what they're doing or who they are. And obviously that's something that I think, you know, it's a kind of a slippery slope. But at the same time, and this is probably my second thing that I would say is, if you can look at those people, those popular people, or those people you admire or that you think are kind of in the in crowd, and you can see something about what they do that does interest you or that you do want to emulate, then don't be too afraid of taking those risks. Because I do feel like as adults, you know, even as kids, like as soon as we start to develop fear of something, it's as if like we start pumping the brakes on everything and we're like limiting our potential. And I think high school is one of those places where it's just amplified. And it's like anything you want to do, anything you want to say, anything you want to be, everyone is judging each other, and it's just like no one goes anywhere, and you kind of feel so forced that this is who I am and this is what I'm going to be for the next 4 years. And so I think for me, it's to just remind myself or that person and say, look, again, this is like a blip of your life, but in the grand scheme of things, and in the grand scheme of things, like what you do now is not going to define you. But at the same time, like you have a chance to really, you know, grow and mature. And if there's things you see that people are doing that you really admire, don't be afraid to try it. You know, you may not be good at it. It may help you find that passion, kind of what your superpower is that you mentioned earlier. But, you know, you gotta, I think, have to just make sure that that child feels like, or yourself feels like, you know, A, I'm not going to be judged, and I'm not going to judge others, so that it kind of creates, I think, just this, you know, consistent energy, if you will. But then secondly, it just kind of motivates them to, yeah, let me try something that I don't normally do. Because, you know, I think as we get older, that kind of fear factor, it doesn't go away. And I think if you can harness it when you're 15, then when you're 30 or 40, you're still going to be thinking about like, what else can I do? Like, yeah, I'm older now, but that doesn't mean I still can't make these like incredible achievements. So what are some things that I want to take a risk at? So I just think that's something that, you know, I remember personally, being afraid of trying things, maybe because of the way I was going to be perceived or because I'd already been so identified at this. And it's like, well, I'm not into that anymore. And now I want to like try something else. And it's tough, right? It's tough when you're that young and you are just so sensitive to what people think about you, you know, directly or indirectly. But I think just encouraging myself back then and say, hey, it's going to be okay. Like, try it out. If you love it, amazing. If you don't, it's not the end of the world. You can still try something else.
That's a great point. And just to kind of ask one quick follow-up question, because I do think it's a very important topic. People are sensitive at that age, and there is this feeling of belonging that people yearn for as it relates to community, as you mentioned earlier. How do you specifically address that? Like, helping yourself walk through the trade-offs of doing something that may not be popular or contrarian, and then essentially dealing with the repercussions that it may not kind of be the most popular thing to do.
Yeah. And that is a challenge. And again, I think that's where it comes down to, you know, how you, like what you present and how you come off, right? Like, I heard something that was really interesting yesterday, and it was talking about, you know, the difference between a perfectionist and a high achiever. And the person in this video, they say that, you know, when you're a perfectionist, you are so, you know, focused on doing something so well that if you don't do it like the perfect way, you feel like people are going to judge you, or you are going to judge yourself. And maybe the way you judge yourself is maybe somewhat related to like, well, if I don't, you know, make this exactly the way it needs to be, other people are going to look at me and say, man, that person wasn't able to deliver. And then it creates this kind of weird, you know, cycle where then, like, as you look at other people, because you're so, like, you know, critical on yourself, you start to become critical on other people. Versus this high achiever person might be a person where it's like, look, I want to strive to do great things, and I want to be, you know, amazing, but I also know that I'm not perfect. And I know that if I make a mistake, it's okay, and I can always evolve, et cetera, blah, 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 blah. But then because you are already telling yourself, I'm not perfect, and I'm not going to always have everything right, you are not judging yourself so much. You're not being so critical on yourself. And so at the same time, you're not going to criticize and be critical of others. So with that being said, you know, with what you're talking about, you know, yeah, like, people are going to criticize you, right? People, that's inevitable. Like, there are going to be people in the world, especially in high school, who are going to like nitpick or call you out or be mean or cruel. And that's never going to go away. And I don't think there's anything that we as a society can do to remove that. But that being said, if I was to tell myself, I'd be like, look, you know, you're going to try things that you're good at, and you're going to try things that you're not good at. But if you just remember, like, everyone's in the same boat, like, everybody has to, you know, like, deal with their deficiencies, and they can either let those deficiencies rule them, or they can learn how to overpower them. And if you just remember that, then when people call you out, you can just, you know, keep that in mind, be like, look, you know what, that person obviously has deficiencies that they're struggling with, so they're criticizing me, and I can either take the higher ground and, you know, just not necessarily like ignore it or, you know, be submissive, but, you know, just tell them like, hey, if you don't like, you know, what I'm doing, or if you don't agree with it, like, I don't need to be around you. Like, I can just kind of change my space, you know, because at the end of the day, like, is this person you're going to really matter to me in a month, in a year, in 5 years, et cetera. Or you don't, and you kind of take the low ground and you get in with that person. But then, like, where does that take you? So again, it's one of those things where, you know, now thinking back to it, I feel like there could have been a lot of situations where I could have done something, where I could have maybe stood up for myself. I could have said things in a certain way. And even if people challenged me, I could have been like, okay, agree to disagree, right? You know, you have your way of thinking, I have my way of thinking. We don't need to be, you know, it's not even about who's right or wrong. It's just about we're different, and I'm okay with my differences. But if you're not, you know, I hope you come to a place when you can eventually be okay with that. But these types of things, these types of conversations, they require empathy. They require, like, you know, things that the human brain hasn't even developed at 15. So I don't know if you can ever solve for this, but I don't, but I also think that, you know, when my kids are 15, I hope to fill in those voids, because, you know, I think that's all we can do, is if we can teach them to not be judgmental of themselves, then I think there's a better chance they won't be judgmental of each other or of other people. And then hopefully that will create an environment where their friends, like their 5 or 10 close friends, are supporting them. Because you think about it, if you think about high school being, you know, 500 or 1,000, or my wife's high school was 25 students. That's crazy. Like, whatever it ends up being, like, your 2, 3, 5, 10 people around you, they will, I think, create that, not shield, but they will create that, you know, that circle that helps to repel anything that's kind of, you know, going to become like confrontational or like critical.
Yeah. Do you say 25 total people in the high school or class?
In her class.
Yeah, in her class. Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, whereas mine was 500.
Wow. And then what was the rest of the, like, was her high school like 9 through 12, or was it?
I think it actually went, you know, even earlier, but I believe she only just did the last couple years of high school there. She kind of moved around, because you said, you know, high school's tough. Like, some people just, you know, they don't really fit in. And so once she found this kind of smaller school, that worked out well. But even in a group of 25, you're going to find people who you really gel with and others who don't. And I think it's just, I don't know. I don't know if that answered your question, but I think that's what I would try to do, is just remind people, like, hey, don't be so critical on yourself. It's okay if you personally struggle with something. And then through that exercise, helping them not in turn be critical of others.
No, it does. I mean, what I took from what you said is an explanation to people that it's okay to agree to disagree, but not judging during the process. I think those are two very compelling points that are not mutually exclusive at all. And if they can work in tandem, can create a very effective kind of framework to approach these things. And the second point is, I do also appreciate that, you know, how much empathy has the human brain at that particular age developed. But I do think through having these conversations, I mean, I can't even think of a person who actually tried to have these types of conversations with me when I was that age. Right? Like, it's more kind of like, it's more of, and actually I'm kind of guilty of this as I started off. It's like, okay, these 10 people, they're not going to be popular. So just realize that. No, it has to go 2 layers deeper. It's like, okay, cool. Let's dissect what I mean by that and why I'm saying that and kind of approaching it accordingly. And again, like, for me, I didn't have it. It was more like, hey, don't worry about these guys, right? They're not going to be, it was just more prescriptive as opposed to like really trying to figure out and understand how the world works and why, and as a result, why you shouldn't take things so seriously.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a really interesting point. And that's why I was trying to like, just understand what you meant when that first statement, because again, like, there's always going to be those popular kids. And, you know, I think about when I was at high school, we went to a very, you know, sports heavy, sports driven school. And I wasn't like a football player or a basketball player. So they automatically were kind of just, you know, top of the kind of the food chain, if you will. And, you know, it's like, okay, so they're really good at sports, and they're, because of that, they're, you know, probably socializing and they're doing kind of other things. Like, I cannot in any good faith as an adult thinking about talking to myself at 15, say there's anything wrong with that. That's great that they're great in sports. That's great that they're socializing and they're partying, et cetera. Like, that's what they want to do. That's right for them. That's how they feel, you know, fulfilled. Who am I to tell them, like, you shouldn't be doing that? Now, personally for me, like, I, when I was 15, like, I didn't want to like drink alcohol, for instance, but they might. I'm not right. They're not right. We're not wrong. We're just different. But to go to a person who's drinking alcohol and be like, I don't feel like drinking, when you're 15, that's really difficult. You know, they might like call you out. They make fun of you, whatever. And then all of a sudden it's like, we're like clashing over something that's not even something you need to clash about. It's just, okay, cool, man. You write left-handed, I write right-handed. Like, we both write. So I just think it's really important for people to know, especially a 15-year-old, that, hey, you know, like, there's going to be people doing different things and none of it's right or wrong. Or at least majority of it. Maybe if someone's doing something extremely like inappropriate, that's a different story. But I think generally where the lines get blurred, I think that's where we have to just not be so dogmatic on like, hey, it's my way and your way is wrong. It's more about, okay, because of your circumstances, this is kind of the world you live. I respect that. You know, I hope you can respect me because I'm respecting you, but I guarantee you, not everyone's going to think that way. So it's going to be, I think it's one of these conversations where you have to tell yourself, like, you know, these are the things that I would have done, but if you didn't do them perfectly, or if it didn't work out the way I thought it was going to work out, it's okay, because you're playing in a very, you know, unstable arena.
Yeah. No, and I think it's so interesting. I mean, I look forward to having these kind of conversations with my kid, and knowing me and even you will have them much, much, much earlier. So the second one, just to kind of move things further, is a more practical one on my end. And this deals with more of something that I realized that, you know, in high school, just early on, I was really interested in just math and numbers, right? But as my education proceeded, it became less practical and it continued to get even more theoretical, right? Like, you know, you go from pre-algebra to algebra to geometry to trigonometry and then to pre-calculus to calculus. And one thing that I would tell myself is, try to figure out the practical applicability of math specifically as it's in the form of accounting. So one kind of skill that I felt really enabled my career to take off was just understanding, you know, numbers in the form of how businesses work. And this was kind of like in 2010-ish when, you know, I worked for a guy who used to just trade stocks, and he and I just used to look at financial statements together. And I feel like accounting is one of those things, and I'm not saying you have to fill out people's tax forms or tax returns, et cetera, but just understanding how to view the ins and outs of a business, even at the highest level, in terms of, okay, a business generates X amount in cash and they do it through spending Y amount in cash to do that, and where that Y amount actually comes from, like where the money is coming from to actually pay for the good or service to be produced, I think is just so, so important to start really grasping at an early age. So that one's a more practical one, and it's kind of more in line with my interest, which was kind of in numbers and math. But I would tell myself, look, spend some time thinking and learning about accounting, specifically in terms of how just entities and organizations run.
Yeah. I mean, I think what I like about that is I do feel like, and I don't know if you felt this way, but I remember being in high school thinking like, man, am I ever going to use any of this? And, yeah, you know, as a result, you feel so like demotivated and everything just feels like a chore and you never want to do anything. You're procrastinating and yada, yada, yada. So I like that approach, right? Where it's like, hey, look, you're in math, you're in English, you're in history, you're in whatever. And like, there is a way that this can apply to you today and tomorrow. And if you can start to think about that, it's going to start to make it, you know, a lot more enjoyable. I think, again, as a 15-year-old, connecting those dots, I think is tough, right? Because you don't have, you know, you didn't have that person who could be like, hey, this is what happens when a company is sold and this is how the financial, you know, balance sheets and paperwork and all that kind of stuff works. And that's one thing that I still kind of wonder, like, or I struggle with just kind of traditional education, is I feel like some of just the basics in life, like how to like prepare to buy a home or buy a car or, how to like just manage your own personal finances is not addressed. It's always kind of these bigger, you know, conversations that feel so theoretical that you can never connect the dots to the application layer. And I think that's something that, again, maybe as fathers, we'll be able to, you know, fill in that gap. And again, help, you know, our kids kind of be able to make that assessment. But yeah, I mean, if I could go back and tell myself like, man, some of this stuff you will actually use a lot. And if you start to think about it now, you can start to, you know, do some cool things, you know, you can like make some early investments or who knows. But yeah, I think that's a cool one. And I think it's, you know, math, like even some of the other like topics, right? Like I just like think about some of the other stuff I learned when I was at school. Like I'd be in classes around like communication or like presenting. And then you never thought like, man, you present every day when you're like, you know, in college and when you're in the real world and how you can, you know, like debate, right? I never really went into debate, but if you think about debate, like that's probably one of the best ways for you to understand how to look at an argument from two angles and how to converse with, you know, a person on a sensitive topic or a controversial topic and be able to come out of it with an outcome. But you don't think about that, right? When you think about debate, you just think about these people who are sitting in this room and they're going back and forth in some like obscure argument that no one cares about. So I feel like if there's a way for schools or parents to help connect those dots, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to think if there's maybe one more thing for me. I think, you know, because again, I'm trying to be mindful of like, what expectations can I have for my 15-year-old self? I definitely think for me, again, to taking more risk, to not being so, you know, absorbed into like this moment in time. And I think also for me, you know, personally is I kind of felt like once I got into something, you know, I kind of just immersed myself into it fully. And I felt like I didn't give myself a chance to try other things. And maybe it is still kind of related to the other points that we talked about. It's just experimenting and trying things. And one thing personally is I just felt like I thought that, okay, if I'm at this school and it's all about sports and it's top tier, and if you're not the best of the best, you're not going to play, I'm not going to even try. And I felt like I did that. I did a disservice to myself because then I just didn't really do as many like kind of athletic things as I think I could have done, because I think I just discounted them at an earlier age, where I know now as an older person, it's like, I'm still very active. It's a big part of my life. And I just think, man, how much more, you know, benefits could I have felt if I had started to make a concerted effort when I was 15 versus, you know, in my like 20s and 30s.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the most challenge, like it's the most interesting thing, right? Like how do you, I see kind of where you're coming from in terms of like taking into consideration how you, like what is developed for you as a 15-year-old. And I think you're a lot more cognizant about this stuff than I am, just because your eldest kid is a lot older than my eldest kid, in the sense where I think you're kind of seeing as you start having more real substantive conversations with your kid, you also have to appreciate that your kid's mind's still developing. And I'm taking that as a huge lesson, because I don't want to be too hard on my kid either, right? I don't want to be like, hey man, like, why don't you understand this? You know, that friend that is popular, like, just don't worry about it. So, you know, I think what I'm trying to figure out is what is that baseline? And I'm trying to really put myself back into my, you know, sophomore year of high school. And again, one thing that I didn't have was, and you know, I love my parents to death and they did the best they could, and I was actually in a serious relationship at that time as well. I don't know if I was having those conversations with, you know, my serious girlfriend at that time. Well, I mean, not serious, but, you know, like I was, like I had someone who could kind of educate me and tell me. And even like with my own brother, like I'm not sure we were having those conversations, but it makes me feel that you need someone older that is constantly kind of feeding this and explaining this to you, not pushing it upon you, but constantly trying to like just unpack it and making you realize certain things about what you are facing.
Yeah. You know? So, no, totally. Yeah, I mean, again, I think the expectation of having a 15-year-old talk to another 15-year-old plus or minus and being able to work through this, I think is unrealistic because I just don't think any of them are in that position. I will tell you that, and you kind of said something I think was really interesting is, you know, having someone who's older who can kind of coach you, right? Like I think coaching is something that I really wish I would have maybe taken a better, I wish I would have incorporated that more in my life. And I would probably tell my 15-year-old self, like, be coachable. Like, yeah, don't let people, don't let people's advice push you away. Don't like get defensive. Don't feel like they're criticizing you. Like be malleable. Let them talk to you. Take what resonates, but be coachable because, you know, they always talk about like, oh, if you have the best coach, you know, you can do anything. But that's assuming you're coachable. And I do feel like when a 15-year-old, myself included, was not coachable, I think I had kind of been like, no, I know how to do this. Like, I know how to play this game and I'm going to stay in my lanes. And because of that, like, it limited, you know? And then when you get older, you're like, screw that. I could have done so much other stuff, right? Like, there's definitely the tactical things where you're like, hey, you know, you're 15, do this, do that, you know, go take more chances, go to more dances, you know, talk to more, you know, girls, guys, like whatever, like do all that stuff. But I think what the real crux of the issue is telling that 15-year-old, like, be coachable, like take feedback and don't take that feedback as like, as a, you know, a slap to your face saying that you are inadequate. Just take it as like, hey, you're in a time that is just so, there's so many things going on. And I know, you know, 20 years later that a lot of that stuff's not going to really matter. So let me give you some advice and just be open to it and take what sticks and see what happens. I think that would be another thing I would tell myself, just be coachable.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to end it too, right? Like just explaining to yourself, like be coachable. And there's a certain art to that too. And I think part of the problem is, and this is something that I know I try to work on, is when I give advice, sometimes I feel like I start lecturing. And I think it kind of goes like, just goes past the person that, it goes over the head of the person that I'm trying to explain it to. Not because it's complex, but just because it just sounds more like, oh man, like here's another lecture. So I think it's just, it's helping that person understand why they should be coachable in a way that's not telling them, like you're almost like you're coaching a person to make themselves believe and be open to being more coachable, right? So I think part of the challenge is going to be even in that delivery, you're the person coaching and how you can make it seem more of not a lecture, and I'm talking more to myself here, but more of just practical advice.
Yeah, it's got to be a conversation, right? It can't be a one-way thing. It has to be a dialogue. And again, even as I get older now, I think about like, I tell myself like, hey, Sethi, like, am I coachable? And I used to think that I was, but I wasn't. And I'm really focused on like being better at that. You know, hey, wife, coach me. You know, you, Nimesh, coach me, like teammates, et cetera. Like everyone coach me because it's not, I don't see it anymore as like my deficiencies. I see it as like, I can expand and I can get better if I can see how through, you know, if I can let people, you know, in a like safe way, kind of let me know like, oh yeah, there's some things that you can work on, and then I just be open to it. And I think like it's actually really cool. Like I feel like it feels great to be able to like be better based on what people tell you and then let them see that, because I feel like then they also feel like, wow, like this person, there was enough trust, there was enough respect that they actually listened to what I said.
Yeah, I like that. Cool. This was a great conversation.
Yeah, man, that's an awesome question. I like it. I'll have to, like, you know, throw that to some buddies, but thanks for asking that today.
For sure.
All right, everybody. Thank you again, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
And that is a wrap. Thank you so much for listening all the way till the end of today's episode. We hope you enjoyed The Empathetic Man. Our goal is to help you on your journey to become more empathetic and ultimately become the best version of yourself. If you enjoyed today's episode, feel free to share it with your family, your friends, your network, anyone who you think is looking to become more empathetic. They can be a man, woman, it doesn't matter. The goal here is to help the world be more empathetic one step at a time. Now, we would also love your feedback. If you can, give us your feedback on the Apple iTunes. You can give us your comments as well as you can rate this podcast. That way we can get more viewers and more people thinking about how they can become more empathetic. Thank you again so much, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.